Welcome to the Talk Theater in Chicago podcast, your audio source for what's going on in the Chicago theater scene. This is the episode for June 1st, 2009, and on this week's episode, we have an interview with Richard Strimer from Crazy for You at the Theater at the Center. Also, we have Chicago's theater news for you, so get ready, and let's talk theater.
This is Tom Williams, and you are listening to Talk Theater in Chicago's interview podcast. Our special guest this week is Richard Strimer, who is the star of Crazy for You, now showing at Munster, Indiana, at the Theater at the Center. Richard is a tremendous triple threat, one of the great dancers, and one of the nicest people around. Hello, Richard.
Hello, how are you?
I'm great. Tell us about the role of playing Bobby Childs in Crazy for You. I know it's one of the great roles in musical comedy. And so tell us how you prepared for that role.
Mm-hmm. One of the big keys on this role for me is a few times in your life, if you're lucky as a performer, you do get a role that kind of clicks with who you are. And up until now, Cosmo Brown in Singing in the Rain was the role for me. This one, Bill Polinzi and Chuck Gessert stepped out onto a board and said, you know, we'd like you on for this role. And I have played the role before. It's very demanding, but it's so exhilarating to be able to try to put all of your technique and skills into one role. And this role just clicks for me. It's such a fun role. It's such a physically demanding role, and yet every ounce of sweat is a joy to put out there on the stage. It's a very fun story. It's not going to be groundbreaking in terms of theme or anything, but it's the story of a banker from New York who truly desires to be a song and dance man on the stage. His mother is very much against that. She's in the banking industry, so you have that chemistry going on there with his mom. He does have an engagement to a girl who is a very upper-class New Yorker. But that plays out from the beginning as something that he seems to have fallen into and not really desired. So he is sent by the bank out to Dead Rock, Nevada, to foreclose on a theater that has been out there. And it is the classic story, boy meets girl and instantly falls in love. And it just turns out that she is the daughter of the owner of that theater. So there is that relationship that starts to form. And instantly, when she finds out he's the banker, she won't have anything to do with him. So he finagles a way of mimicking and trying to be a copy of Bella Zangler, who is a theater producer from New York. And that's when the comedy starts truly to ensue. There is the comedy number where Bella Zangler and Bobby Child, dressed as Bella Zangler, come face to face. Very fun, very exciting scene. It gets people laughing very hard. It is the boy meets girl, boy loses girl, boy gets girl. But with all of the Gershwin tunes that are in this show, it's just an amazing a piece of work that they've done. And again, it's not groundbreaking, but it is something that will let you forget about life for a minute and put a smile on your face and put a tap in your toe. And it's been getting great response. It is a great show. Bill did a great job of casting this show, I think.
Yes, he did.
And it is just a good core ensemble to be a part of. It is truly amazing.
You know, besides all of the great work that you've done as a singer and a dancer in this show, what you've done as a comic in this show is truly amazing, and you are to be commended for this. So tell us about that.
Thank you. Yeah. It is one of the joys to be able to say, what talents can I bring to this? How can I play the role, and to be able to work with Bill as director, who is open-minded with seeing things and saying, try this, try that, and just trying to find ways of again, just bringing a chuckle and a laugh to the audience, because that's one of the beauties of musical theater in terms of what this show stands for, is just to let people enjoy themselves.
You know, in these crazy times, it is such a joy to be able to go to the theater and laugh and tap your toes and just have such a good time. It just makes you forget all of the problems in the world.
Yes, I agree full-heartedly on that.
Tell us how you prepare for a role like this, because you're on stage virtually the entire show, and, you know, you're doing all this tough physical comedy besides a high-energy dance. There must be a physical and psychological and preparation that you make for that.
Well, you know, it's all about just warming up and getting your body ready to go. Usually on the car ride, I'll vocalize and try to warm the voice up there. I tend to get to the theater an hour and a half before the show starts, and just start stretching and trying to keep the strength up. For this one, a great discovery I found was making sure that I did eat and have like protein drinks and stuff like that after the show's over, because it truly is a workout. It is, as you mentioned, I'm off the stage for 15 minutes during the show in its entirety, and 12 minutes of those I'm changing costumes. So there are two quick moments where I can stop and catch my breath and everything like that, but it is one of the joys of doing theater, and it's one of the joys of anybody who gets to do what they love to do, is, once again, that every ounce of sweat, it's a joy to be able to put it out there. And no matter how tired you are, no matter how life is going, once you hit that stage and you hear that music and you get to fully concentrate on the show, it is a true joy. It is a body breaker, but it is a true joy just to be able to be on the stage, especially with this group of people.
One of the things I've always been so amazed at with top flight dancers like yourself is the tremendous shape you're in. You guys never seem to be breathing heavy, and your body tone, you know, there's no body fat, and you guys are just so strong, and it just makes the dance effortlessly. Can you tell us how you would prepare and how you keep your body in shape for these roles?
Yeah, running, weightlifting, a lot of cardio work just to keep the breath and air support. One of the challenges in doing musical theater is your breathing is different if you're singing or if you're dancing. There's two different breathing styles. So it is trying to find the balance of how can I breathe for doing the dancing and yet be able to turn around and breathe for doing the singing.
What about when you have to do both?
It becomes a, you know, it's finding the pattern. It's finding the little path that, okay, I need to think of this and I need to think of that. And it's like with any job that you're fully concentrated on, you have 1,000 things going on all at one point in time. And it's a matter of during rehearsals and while the show's running, of constantly trying to figure out, okay, how can I take this path so that this will work better?
You seem to effortlessly glide across the floor, and of course, with your leading lady, who does a terrific job, you guys are totally in sync.
It's true. I believe it's the Shall We Dance?
Yes, Shall We Dance?
Yeah, and it is it's a whole story within itself, and I think it's kind of an homage within this show to the old War Horse type musicals where they would have a ballet in it, and that would explain kind of the story. And with this, you get a 4-minute number that gives you the arc of what these characters are going to do, and it's the learning process of two people meeting one another, and then you get to see them kind of fall in love during a choreographed number. It's wonderful. It's a great combination. Linda did a fantastic job. Incorporates some soft shoe, some ballroom waltzing, some serious physical jazz work is incorporated in that, and partnering dancing. And for me, partner dancing is just remarkable. It is an art form in itself. And to be able to have someone like Amy Brophy, who plays opposite me as Polly, just, you know, this is her first Equity House show, and she just came in and said, all right, what do you want me to do? What do we need to do? And she and I are constantly working together. Her work ethic is remarkable. So, and I think she nails it on the head. She is fantastic.
Well, you know, that number reminds me of Gene Kelly and Leslie Caron meets Ginger Rogers and Fred Astaire. You guys are in great company there. I'm referring to the I Got Rhythm number that ends Act One, which is a tremendous piece of dance work.
Yep. And it kind of incorporates all of that all in one. There are certain elements, you know, she has talked about this before, that, you know, people kind of expect to see the pickaxes and dancing on the crates and things like that. But she was able to incorporate some elements of that, but then also make it her own. And I think that's where she really scored. She really did concentrate on storyline with all the choreography throughout the show. And yeah, it, just a dream. And this is actually my first time to work with Linda as choreographer. I've actually worked with her since early 90s at Candlelight.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've been on the stage together so many different times, and to have her be in the position of choreographer, it was very exciting. And then to come in and see that she's taken everything that, you know, we've talked about we as a community have talked about in green rooms and out, you know, going out to dinner and stuff like that, about what theater is and what constitutes, you know, just breaking into a dance number rather than breaking into a dance number that forwards the story.
You know, a few weeks back I had Ken Ludwig on, you know, who wrote the book for Crazy for You, and he was a really nice guy and a very talented guy, and he was saying how much he loved doing the show with Gershwin Music. He also said that when that number, the one you do with Larry Adams, came up, you know, where Bella's Angler, the real Rudy. Bella's Angler, and you dressed as Bella's Angler doing that thing where you have the hangover the next morning. He said, I asked him, I said, did you change any of the Gershwin lyrics for that part? He said, no. He says, I don't mind doing a lot of things, but he says, I won't touch Gershwin. So tell us about how you did that scene with Larry Adams, because it was really tremendously hard and very, very funny.
Larry and I got together with Bill, and we had 4 hours to begin with, and then he and I got together on the side. So I mean, it was probably about 6 hours worth of working and timing it out.
I remember where Kurt Dale Clark down at Drury Lane Evergreen Park, when you guys did Singing in the Rain, and you played Cosmo and he played the Gene Kelly role. That was such a marvelous show, and I know it ran forever, and it just showed how great you guys are as talents and how good Chicago talent can be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was an honor to be a part of that. That was another one of those roles that is just a lifetimer.
You guys were amazing. Yes, that Singing in the Rain was one of the best shows of the last few years, and it's, I think, Crazy for You and your performance is right up to that par.
Yeah. It was a true joy. Yeah, we had a great run. And, you know, theater will miss Evergreen Park, Drury Lane, forever. But to be able to say, you know, that was a role I got to play in an amazing theater under the direction of Mark Robin, who is brilliant, is just brilliant across the board. And yeah, it truly, that was a true high point in my career, and this is kind of matching it right now.
I was talking with Linda Fortunato and her husband Sean Fortunato, and I was saying, if there's any justice in the world, Sean will get nominated for playing the lead in Curtains, and you'll get nominated for playing the lead in Crazy for You, and the Jeff Committee will vote a tie, and you'll both walk home with a trophy. When you come to think of it, both of you guys had major roles in major musicals that you guys carried the story through and became the key to the play. I can't remember seeing two better performances this year, and so let's hope that there is a God.
Oh. Yeah, but he's got me covered on the other bases in spades. So, thank you so much. The first show I ever did, I was in fourth grade, and I got to be in a high school production of Our Town. My mother actually was a theater teacher in my hometown. She grew up doing theater. My whole family was kind of incorporated through theater. My brother and sister are older than I was, so I got to watch them go through high school, and the bug bit me. So I was kind of into it from the get-go. I did theater all through high school. I ended up going to Michigan State University, where I got a scholarship for the theater department, and I graduated with a BA in theater, an emphasis in dance. At the time, their musical theater program was still getting formatted, so I kind of missed the bridge of that. Then I moved straight here to Chicago. I ended up, you know, you do what you do when you get here. You realize, okay, there's bills to be paid and stuff like that. So I ended up temping and I'm doing side jobs. I got my first stage show out at the old Pheasant Run in West Side Story back in 93. And then just kind of did the stepping stone. I was able to work at Candlelight, and then stepped up into Oak Brook, where Chi-Chi, Diane Von Lente, rest mm-hmm. her soul, again went out on a board for me. She offered me 42nd Street, and we had talked about, you know, my points are up, I need to join Equity, and she said, I'll call you back. We'll have to talk about that. And gave me a call back and signed me to my first contract through Equity, and that's what has started it. So I'm in my 13th year now in Equity. Theater in Chicago is bar none, in my opinion, the top. It's in terms of monies and technology and things like that. I mean, Broadway is Broadway. That is the king. It is the crown. But in terms of being able to make a living and to have a life outside of work, I've talked with other actors who've come in from New York and just in sitting and picking their brain. And you know, my wife and I are both in the business. And, you know, we've got our condo, we've got our car, we have, you know, our lives are here and our friends. And it comes down to what's important to you. And what's important to us is a community. And unfortunately, a few years back, one of my compatriots in the business was involved in an accident. And that was Dan Proctor.
Yeah, I saw Dan Proctor recently, and he looked pretty good. He looked like he's on the road to recovery. And he, of course, credits you with giving him a lot of help, you and the theater community, which is great news.
Yeah, he is truly an amazing guy.
And what a great performer he was.
Yeah. Yes. And to share the stage with him, I mean, he and I did Crazy for You back at Candlelight 14 years ago, you know, and to be able to do the full circle has been great with the show, but also the response and outcry of a community. The community here in Chicago is second to none, and I've been able to work and been blessed in Pennsylvania and Ohio and there is a sense of community there, but here it feels like family. And it's so wonderful to be able to show up at an audition and to see your friends and to actually feel, not be playing the game, but actually feel, wow, you nailed that. Totally, they should go with you, you know?
Let me ask you, have you had any interest in doing any straight plays like Shakespeare, Shaw, or Oscar Wilde?
I haven't. That is an area that I'm going to be exploring into more and more. But, you know, right now I've been so lucky and blessed in terms of the musical theater world here in Chicago that I've been able to support myself doing what I love to do.
Thank you for a great interview, Richard. And folks, remember, go see a play this week.
Hello, Chicago, and welcome to the Talk Theater in Chicago News Podcast. I'm your host, Dustin Moat, bringing you the theater news for the week of June 1st, 2009. Theo Ubique Theater Company has extended their hit Evita yet again. Since their show has been selling out for almost 2 months straight and has garnered the company many non-Equity Jeff Award nominations, the extension of Evita can now be seen Friday and Saturday nights at the No Exit Cafe through June 27th. And for those willing audiences, a themed Argentine dinner course is available before the show to complete the experience. For more information on how to get tickets, follow the links at theaterinchicago.com. The artistic director of the Looking Glass Theater, David Catlin, will be stepping down as the AD to take on a position at Northwestern University as a professor. But no worries about any bad blood. Part of the Looking Glass company's structure is to shift the artistic director role amongst the ensemble members, you know, to keep the power equally spread. No word yet as to who is the next successor. Congratulations, David Catlin. Chicago actor Will Schutz passed away last Monday from a battle with cancer. He was 47 years old. Will had worked with many Chicago companies, such as City Lit, Signal Ensemble, and The Side Project, amongst others. A memorial service will be held this Sunday, June 7th. More information about him can be found at the Facebook group, Because Will Schutz is Beloved. Thank you for listening to the Talk Theater in Chicago News Podcast. Remember, you can find us here every Monday with more news ready for you to enjoy. So, until next Monday, that is the theater news from Talk Theater in Chicago, and I'm your host, Dustin Moat. Thank you for listening to the Talk Theater in Chicago podcast. I would like to thank Richard Strimer for giving us the honor of interviewing him this week. I would also like to thank Tom Williams and Mark Meyer. Without them, this podcast would not be possible. And I would also like to thank you, our listening audience. Remember, we will be here every Monday with a new episode ready for your listening pleasure. So, until next Monday, I'm your host, Dustin Moat, reminding you, Chicago, to keep talking theater.